A week ago tonight, I had the great pleasure of attending my grandson's RIS. I had more pleasure in attending this ritual circumcision than my grandson did, I suspect. It was an incredibly moving moment. I'm always moved by one of the ritual prayers, the Shahadiyana, which thanks the source of life for creating us, sustaining us, and bringing us to this moment. And I often weep just a little bit when it's recited. But this night was really special. One of the rituals, one of the customs, is to take the baby and pass the baby from generation to generation, from his sibling to his great-grandmother to his grandparents to his parents. And at that point, both my wife and I lost it. The great-grandmother, my mother-in-law, Betty, Branya Lipsman, is a Holocaust survivor. And she shared that she could not have imagined when she was at Auschwitz, when she was at some of the work camps, that she would live another day, no less survive the war, no less find her husband, Itzik, who she had married during the war and before they were denounced and taken away. She could not have imagined surviving to come to America, to make a life in America, to have children, to live to have grandchildren, to live to hold three great-grandchildren, grandsons, incidentally, and to be present for their bris, for their part of their lap, their portion to run in the relay race that is life, from past through present to future. When she was surrounded by the fires of hell, there was no way to imagine anything that would be normal, that would involve laughter and singing and joy. And yet, she survived, body and soul, survived bodily to be present, and survived spiritually to be able to say yes and to take a chance on family, on life, on the world, and in the future. Not everybody was so fortunate. Once upon a time, I was asked to teach a course at the University of Judaism on the gentle philosophy of Robert Fulghum, the guy who wrote Everything I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. It was a terrible idea for a course, but they thought I would be good at it because he's a Unitarian minister, I'm a Unitarian minister, he wrote a column, I wrote a column, he made a fortune. That's where probably the course failed. Strangely enough, in preparing for this course, I actually read his books, and there was one article that just puzzled me. He was puzzled by the story of Lot and Lot's wife. He said, how could Jewish people punish someone or feel someone should be punished for looking back? Because doesn't Judaism look back to question, to engage tradition, to engage scripture, to look where the people have been in order to move forward? And of course the answer is yes. But the deeper answer really came from my mother-in-law, who managed to survive, who managed to survive spiritually. The Holocaust, the Shoah, was not a secret in my wife's family. It wasn't the elephant in the room that nobody talked about. Nor was it an obsession where they bathed themselves in pain every day. It was a fact, an important fact of life from which to learn, but not a place in which to dwell. My wife's uncle was not so fortunate. He was broken. And like Lot's wife, he could not look forward. He only looked back until the pain and the tears covered him in a carapace of salt in which he slowly shriveled away and seemed spiritually to die before his body died. I say seemed because he too, out of the depths, there was a moment. There was a moment when Cousin Nancy adopted a baby. And the baby was a mixed race baby. And everybody was worried about how Uncle would react, because Uncle was not the most joyous person in the whole world and was not noted for his liberality in any way, shape, or form. He was just kind of like that. And it wounded, covered in scar tissue. But when he walked into the room to meet his only grandson, something happened. His face lit up, and there was a spark, a remnant of who he was before he had been so injured, of who he could still have been, and in some ways was for the last 3 years of his life. There was a spark that showed. And I think that that's one of the things that we do at this season. It's a season to celebrate life. It's a season to celebrate the spark that is inside each of us, and the spark that sometimes seems to die in all of us. It is not so much a question of faith, but of faithfulness, of tending the spark, of knowing that when hope seems to go out, when we seem to be utterly broken, when there cannot be another spring, to know that underneath it, there is this spark. As the Unitarian poet E. E. Cummings wrote, "Our job is to blow upon the embers of the heart, to see that spark in each other and in ourselves. And when that fire seems to be low, when our friends and family or ourselves seem to be going out, to take and to grasp each other, to find the spark, to make it present, to fan it, to blow upon it, to bring it forth into something that will, whose fire will illuminate and not burn, whose warmth will warm and not scorch." That is how we are faithful to our values, how we are faithful to our world and our world keeping its promise of the skies of spring coming again, and how we faithfully serve each other, our world, life, and particularly in this season for my family, new life, feel the connection from past to present to future, and our part in this great and wonderful journey, just how important we are one to another.